I want to tell them you're looking good this morning, and it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. What a good looking bunch. Glory to God, we get a little appetizer before we eat lunch. Isn't that good? Well, Pastor Joel and Miss Pepe are taking a little birthday vacation, and so they asked us to share a little bit on communion, and we have people ask all the time, and I'm in our member care group, we have people ask all the time, well, when do we receive communion here at this church? Well, whenever the Lord leads us to, that's when we have it. But, you know, when Paul gave us the revelation, he said, as often as you receive the communion elements, to do it in remembrance of me. So the bottom line on it is this. You can get your grape juice and your crackers or wafers or whatever you want to do, and you can take them at home anytime you want to, or you can take them on the job if you have access to a little room where you can get away. You can receive communion anytime you want to, okay? There's no rule or regulation about it. But let me say this also. A lot of times, and I'm not saying this because of our church, but sometimes you can go to churches and they literally receive communion every Sunday or every Wednesday. That's great. I'm glad they do. Praise the Lord for that. But right on the other hand, sometimes when people get into a religious ritual, so to speak, it's like you just do it because you're doing it. Sometimes you're going through what I call religious calisthenics, and you don't really even realize, why am I doing what I'm doing? You see, everything that God tells us to do in His Word, there's a purpose behind that. There's a reason behind that. And we don't just come and take communion lightly around here. When we receive communion, we do it with meaning. We do it with purpose. We do it with thanksgiving in our heart, because we know that this is a time when the Lord gives us very specific instructions about receiving communion. And one of the things that He tells us to do, He says, as often as you receive these communion elements, He tells us what to do. He said, this do, receive the communion elements. And then He says, how? In remembrance of me. And Jesus is talking about Himself there, right? So whenever you are ready to partake of the communion table or the communion elements, you should always have a knowledge of why you're doing what you're doing. You know, in Psalm 103, the Bible says, forget not all His benefits. He heals all of our diseases. He crowns our life with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. When it talks about the life of Jesus in Acts chapter 10 in verse 38, it says how God anointed He anointed, He set on Jesus, the power from heaven, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And what did He do? It says He went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good with that power. Jesus went about doing good with that power. How did he do good? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Amen. Jesus was God on the earth in action. There was never a sick person that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, will you heal me? And He looked at him for a second and said, no. No, every person that ever came to Jesus for healing got healing. And the reason why I take the time to say that is that most of the body of Christ has a good revelation about Jesus as their Savior. They know Jesus died. They know Jesus rose again. They know Jesus shed His blood so they could have their sins forgiven. They know Jesus as their Savior. And that's great, because we need to be saved to have eternal life. We need to be saved to be forgiven. We need to be saved to have our access to go to heaven one day. Are you all ready for heaven one day? But it's another thing to know that Jesus has another part in the salvation that He gave to you and I, and that is that Jesus is our healer. So when you receive Jesus as your Savior, I got news for you. You didn't just receive Jesus as your Savior. You received Him with a bonus, with a benefit. He's Jesus, your Savior, but He's also Jesus, your healer. Oh, glory to God. That ought to get you to shout this morning. Say, Jesus is my Savior, and Jesus is my healer. Now point to yourself and say, He's my Savior, He's my healer. Glory to God. If we can get that revelation, I'll tell you what, we're a long ways down the road of receiving all the benefits that belong to us. I pray this all the time. Lord, my name ain't Jimmy, but I'll take all you want to give me. Amen. You see, when Paul gave the revelation in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, for this cause or for this reason, he says, I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will give unto us and me the spirit of wisdom, so I can have revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of my understanding can be enlightened, that I can know the hope of my call. Here's the next part. And what is my rightful inheritance among the saints? When you read the Word of God, folks, the Word of God is the will of God. If you had someone that was loaded and they died and your name was the beneficiary, you would be smart to get a hold of that will and read every fine point from beginning to end to find out what you had a right to, and you'd be foolish not to go after all of it if it belonged to you. Am I right? Well, you know, the Bible says that we need to know what is our rightful inheritance among the saints. And I'm here to boldly proclaim to you today, you have a right to salvation, but you have a right to healing. You have a right to be whole. You have a right to be healthy. You have a right to be strong. You have a right to be prosperous. You have a right to be free. You have a right to be delivered. You have a right to be a positive person in a negative world, an up person in a down world. You have a right to be appointed and anointed and gifted of God every day of your life, 24/7, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. You've got a right to win the fight and be in it for everything that God has for you. You have a right to your inheritance. But if you don't know what your inheritance is, you can't take advantage of it. That's why in Psalm 103, it says, forget not all of his benefits. I don't know about you, but I want all his benefits. I don't want just most of them, almost all of them except. No, I want all of them. And if you're smart, and I know you are, you want all of them. Glory to God. So let's just take a walk through what communion is all about. Let's receive communion in a little bit, but let's do it in remembrance of him. Let's find out what he did, and let's take advantage of our covenant rights. Let's get what belongs to us. What do you say? Well, three of you are with me. Glory to God. I'm having fun up here. Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 1. It says, Lord, who has believed our report? And that's a good question today, because some people might sit here and believe this report and some of you don't. Some of you might not. Hopefully you all will. Glory to God. But it says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of many sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and rejected, and we esteemed him not. Surely, or no question about it, if you're out there and your name is Shirley, it's not talking to you, but anyway. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yeah, if you're out there and your name is Shirley, he's talking to you too anyway. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And with his stripes we are healed. And with his stripes we are healed. You didn't hear? And with his stripes we are healed. Doesn't say with his stripes we are going to be healed. Doesn't say with his stripes we can be healed. Doesn't say with his stripes we might be healed. Doesn't say with his stripes there's a possibility we could be healed. No, it says, and with his stripes we are healed. That's present tense, right? It was, our was present tense then, and our will be present tense now, and our will be present tense forever to you. By his stripes, we are healed. I've tried being sick, and I like being healed a whole lot better. How about you? So Isaiah prophesied this about Jesus literally hundreds and hundreds of years before he ever walked on this planet. He prophesied that when Jesus came, that he would receive those stripes on his back so that by the stripes we could be healed, just like shedding his blood so we could be forgiven. That's part and parcel of the covenant that he said Jesus would give to us through his death. Now let's take a little trip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's walk through this together and let's see what the scriptures have to say about Jesus' life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I still hear pages turning. Tell your neighbor, thank God for the word. Amen. See, it's absurd to be a nerd when you got the word. The early bird always gets the word. That's why you guys got here before noon. Glory to God. Eat good before you go eat the other stuff. You guys, you have your priorities right here. Anyway, let's look at this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I also preached also and have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Did you know there are some folks that can hear this stuff and still believe in vain because they don't receive it, they don't accept it? He says, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then all the apostles, and at last of all he was seen of me also, and of one born out of due time. So here Paul talks about the life that Jesus would live. Now I want you to turn with me also, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27, if you will. Matthew chapter 27. Years ago, you know, I started teaching on communion, and I've taught it for many years, and I've studied on communion. I've given it and served it many, many times. But several months ago, when the Lord impressed it upon my heart to teach on communion, I was meditating on the death and burial and the resurrection of the Lord. And it was during that time that the Lord began to speak to me about an incident that it talked about concerning what Jesus did. And he told me to look up the word crucified, which I had never done. I never realized what it meant. But anyway, let's look at it in this text, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It says in verse 33 of chapter 27, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, and they mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and they parted his garments, and casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and they set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." So this was just a small window talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. And when I looked at that term, there they crucified him. When I looked up that word crucified, I like to fell right off the back of my chair. Because when I looked up the word crucified in the literal Greek meaning of the word crucified, it literally means staro. This is the Greek word staro, S-T-A-U-R-O, which comes from the root word stao, S-T-A-O. And it literally means to stand up. And when I saw that, I thought, my gosh, just think about that. When Jesus was being taken to the cross and they laid his body down to be put on that tree, and they drove those stakes into his wrists and into his feet, and they started raising that cross up, Satan, the Bible says, if the enemy would have known that he was crucifying the Son of God and what would come forth after he was raised from the dead, it says he would have never done it. And when the enemy was doing a jig and he's saying to himself, hot diggity dog, he's going to burn in hell. He's never getting out. He's going to stay down there. The devil didn't realize that God had a secret plan behind all that. And so what the wicked one thought was going to be the most negative day in all the world and his greatest victory, Jesus was being raised up on that cross and he was smiling on the inside. And he said, the devil thinks this is going to be a negative, but I got news for him. It's going to be the most positive thing this world has ever seen. Glory to God. He said, when I get up on that cross, I'm going to stand up for the drunkard. I'm going to stand up for the alcoholic. I'm going to stand up for the incarcerated. I'm going to stand up for the loner. I'm going to stand up for the one that everyone else said would never amount to a hill of beans, never do nothing. I'm going to stand up for those that were thrown out and cast aside by society and said they're no good. Jesus said, I'm going to stand up for them. I'm going to stand up for the hurting. I'm going to stand up for the sick. I'm going to stand up for the dying. Glory to God, the oppressed. That's what Jesus was doing. He was saying the enemy thinks he's got me. He ain't got me. I got him. When I'm raised up from the grave, it's going to be the most positive thing that'll ever happen in your life. I'll take you out of defeat and put you into victory. I'll take you from a loser. I'll turn you into a winner. I'll turn you into a different person. I'll give you a new future, a new hope, a new life you never dreamed you could have. Because my name is El Shaddai. I'm the God who's more than enough for you. He was raised up in resurrection power, resurrection anointing, resurrection peace, resurrection joy, resurrection strength, resurrection devil-busting anointing. That's what he was raised up in. Why did he do that? He did it for you, to give that life to you. That's why he did it, just for you. He paid the price. He didn't want to be on that pole receiving those stripes on his back, but he did it because he loves you. Glory to God, everything he did. He wanted to turn everything negative in your life into a positive. That's why he did it. He was not only standing up for you, glory to God, he was standing up to the devil and demon powers and sickness and disease and poverty and lack and everything negative in this world. He was standing up against it to give you the abundant life. That's why when Jesus is talked about, the Bible says that the thief, talking about Satan, he comes to steal. He comes to rip you off. He comes to kill. He tries to take you out before your time. Let me tell you something. Some people will read in the Psalms and they say, well, the Bible promises me 70. That is not so. That's 70 years. Did you ever read Psalm 91? The Bible says with long life that God will satisfy you and demonstrate his salvation. When should you go out? When you go out good and ready. When should you go out? You should go out healed. You should go out on your terms, not the devil's, not sickness and disease, not poverty and lack. You should go out a winner. You should go out in a blaze of glory. You should go out as a child of God in all his fullness, walking in the fullness of his blessings. That's what God has for you. That's what God's ordained for you to have. That's why when you go to the communion table, it's not just going through some kind of a religious ritual. It's understanding that his body was broken for you. Glory to God. The sin that was put on him was to take you out of shame and guilt and condemnation and allow you to stand up every day with a smile on your face because you and God are walking hand in hand and there's nothing, anything between you and God but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8 real quickly. And I'm going to wind down so we can get into the communion part of this. But I want to stir you up. Go for what God has for you. In Matthew chapter 8. See, when Jesus began to call out his disciples, he had them follow him. Isn't that right? And when they would bring to him sick folk, he'd get up way early in the morning, way before anybody else. And you know what he was doing? He was on his face before God and he was crying out. And the Bible says that he was a light in the darkness of the world. He was waiting on God for the anointing to hit him so he could get direction and he could begin to go out in the day and begin to flow in the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus didn't work miracles every day, even though we read about a lot of miracles. No, his number one job when he was on the earth was raising up 12 people that he knew that there was going to be a time when he would check out, and when he was gone, the world would be like it was before he came. Before he came, the world was dark. Before he came, the world was empty. Before he came, the world was confused. Before he came, the world was in chaos. The Bible says that grace and peace came by Jesus Christ. He would get on his face before God and let the anointing hit him and get revelation and direction for that day. And he would go out, but the main thing he was doing was duplicating himself in his disciples. When he would call them out, he would go into the marketplace. He would go into the synagogues, preaching and teaching and healing. Then he'd go to the next place, preaching and teaching and healing. Healing what? All manner of sickness and disease. In fact, the message of healing was so great in Jesus that he would even go out into a solitary place just to try to get a break. If someone says, "Give me a break," that wasn't your idea. Jesus said, "Give me a break," a long time ago. He would go out into the wilderness, but he had such glory and power on him that people would seek him out no matter where he went. Why? Because they knew when they could get to him, they could get to their miracle. I got news for you. If you're a child of God today, the Bible says you have this treasure in your earthen vessel that the excellency and the power might be of God and not of you. If they can get to you, they can get to God. If they can get to you, they can get to their miracle. If they can get to you, they can get to their healing. Why? Because God is in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Lord lives in you. Hallelujah. You should be a miracle going somewhere to happen every day. Good news waiting to pop up and manifest in someone's life. That's what God's called you to do and be. He realized when he checked out, the world would still be looking for direction. Where would they get it? In the 12. And someone says, "Well, that was just the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And after they died out, all the miracles ended." Baloney with a capital B. Read your Bible, John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said very emphatically, "The works that I do, shall you do also." The works that I do, Jesus said, shall you do also. And even greater works than these shall you do. Why? He says, because I'm going to be with the Father. In our terminology, say, the reason why that's supposed to happen is on account of when I'm done, I'm checking out. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, to be the one called alongside of us to help us and to equip us to go into the earth and be a miracle worker for God. That's what you're supposed to be. Be an imitator of God as his dear children. 1 John 4:17, as he is in heaven, so are we on the earth. Is he a miracle worker there? We're a miracle worker here. Has he got it together there? We got it together. Is he anointed there? We are anointed here. Oh, it's quiet in this church house this morning. See, when we receive communion, it's doing it in memory. Jesus didn't die in vain, folks. He died so all could be saved. Amen. He received the stripes so all could be healed. Glory to God. He did all that to give us a positive life. And the only way we can do that is to receive communion after we're born again and do it continually in remembrance of him. Now, that's not all you do. You walk in obedience, obviously. But I'm just telling you, when you receive the communion elements, don't ever do it where you don't take the time to do it in remembrance of him, what he said and what he did and what he commanded us to do. We got a commission from the Lord. It's called the Great Commission. Amen. And he wants all of us to be partaking in it and be involved in it. Let's go ahead and get our guys up here, Brother Tommy and Brother Luke. We're going to go ahead and prepare our hearts to receive the communion elements. And as we're doing that, if you will, you can open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And while they're passing out the elements, I just want you to take the time to examine your own heart. Take the time to check in your own heart where you're at. Really, that's between you and the Lord. That's the beautiful thing about communion. It says when you come to the table, it says examine yourself. So the Lord gives you the opportunity to check with your own heart and to make sure that things are right between you and the Lord. So take the time to do that. Just, if you can, just go ahead and bow your heads just for a few moments and just ask the Lord to search your heart and see if there's anything in your life that needs to be corrected. See, sometimes it's not the sins of omission, it's the sins of commission. Sometimes it's the other way around. But irregardless, the Lord wants us to have the opportunity to know that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can find mercy and grace to help us in the time of need. See, when he shed his blood and ascended to the throne and that blood was presented at the mercy seat, from that time until now, as far as sin is concerned, the Lord said the sins of mankind are taken care of once and for all. And for over 2,000 years when that happened, the Lord has never held your sin against you. And so when you miss it, he gives you opportunity to respond to that love. And God's love for you is a love that never changes. It's not based upon your performance. It's not based upon works. It's not based upon religious things that you do or don't do. It's based upon who God is and how good he is. So when you judge your own heart, you make sure that you've looked into your heart and just say, Lord, if there's anything that's between me and you that's displeasing or things that I need to stop or things that I need to do, Lord, just show me and I'll make the adjustment. And when you do that, it's as easy as that. See, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You don't go by your feelings. You don't check with your feelings. When you ask the Lord to forgive you, it doesn't matter how bad you've been or how many times you've missed it. When you ask the Lord to forgive you, the Bible says he is faithful and just. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In fact, the Bible says he'll cast all your sins into the sea of forgetfulness so that your sins and iniquities he won't even remember anymore. It says he'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. So when you come to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, he does that. But then you got to take another step. You got to learn to forgive yourself by faith, not by how you feel. Don't go by your feelings. You just say, Lord, I thank you that according to your word, I'm forgiven. And now by faith, I forgive myself. When you do that, it's a done deal. Once again, don't check with your feelings. Don't ever do that. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by what the word says, not how we feel. So as you've taken a couple of moments to examine your heart, I'm going to bow my head and do the same thing I'm asking you to do. And then we'll pray in a minute here. And we'll receive the communion elements. There's someone in here that you felt like your situation has been so bad that there's absolutely no way that anybody can turn that around. And the Lord just wants you to know that's not true. The Bible says there's no temptation or test or trial that's common to man that he hasn't already with that made a way of escape. And the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. So don't you believe that lie. You just believe that God loves you, that he cares for you. And in Psalm 91, the Bible says, when you call upon the Lord in the day, it says that he will hear you, answer you, be with you. He'll deliver you. And it says, with long life, he'll satisfy you and demonstrate to you his salvation. So you believe that. You believe that. God says the moment you come to him, he's going to turn it around quickly, suddenly. You're going to know it. Thank you, Lord. Everybody in here, just say this with me. Just say, "Dear God in heaven, thank you for being such a good God. Jesus, thank you for dying for me, for being raised from the dead. Thank you for your blood that makes me free from sin and guilt and condemnation. Thank you for your body that was broken for me to give me health and healing. Thank you, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I give you control of my life. Have your way. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Glory to God." Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all through that text because time is moving on, but just remember this. It says also when you receive communion, it says, "For this cause," it says, "many are weak," it says, "many are sickly, and even many sleep." That of many sleep means this. When it says many sleep, it simply means they die prematurely. And it says the reason why is because they don't discern the Lord's body. You know, when you start framing your beliefs, you don't let anybody tell you what the Bible says or doesn't say. You be convinced in your heart. Let the Scriptures speak for themselves. Forget about religious tradition. Examine the Word of God for what it says. That's the safe way. That's the right way. Tradition can bring you down. Tradition can rob you and rip you off. Even some people that'll believe that, you know, maybe some people are just destined to be sick. That's not true. Jesus bought and paid for it. We just got through reading it. That's why you got to go with the Word of God over tradition, over what Grandma says. Glory to God. Bless her heart. She's a sweet lady. But you can't go by what Grandma says all the time. If she's speaking the Word, you can. You're safe there. But I'm just telling you, don't deviate away from the Word. Thy Word is truth. "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. What God says is so." That's why when Paul got this revelation, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Paul said, "For this cause, there's a reason why many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep." He gave us the answer right there. Why? Not discerning the Lord's body. See, a lot of people know about Jesus as Savior, dealing with the sin and character and all those things, but they know very little about Jesus the healer. He's just as much your healer as He is your Savior. When you receive Jesus into your life, He's just as much your healer as He is your Savior. He's both. He's one and the same. I said this in the last service. The word salvation, you look it up yourself. The word salvation comes from the Greek word sozo. Sozo means completeness. It means wholeness. It means healthy, healed, strong, whole, lacking nothing. That's what sozo means. Here's the deal with Satan. Satan is a bozo. That bozo don't go with sozo. See what I'm saying? He'll try to tell you that healing don't belong to you. It's just for some. No, it belongs to you. That's why when we started out, we said, if you have a will that's been given in your name, you're going to read it, you're going to find out what the benefits are, and you're going to receive them. Amen? If you don't, you're just short-sticking yourself. Not only that, but why not receive the benefits that Jesus paid for? Come on. I believe it grieves the heart of God when some people die sickly and prematurely and go on when they didn't have to. Amen. So when you receive these communion elements, don't be like some that receive the Word of God in vain. See that? I baptized my thumb in the name of grape juice here, but that's all right. They filled it up full. Our guys do a good job. Glory to God. So let's go ahead and just bow our heads real quickly, and let's break this bread that was broken for us to give us health and healing, and let's partake. Father, we thank you that when Jesus came to the earth and he died and rose again and received those stripes on his back, Lord, your word says that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. The Bible says that our health should spring forth speedily. And the Bible says that if the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us, that he will quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit. Father, your word says that Jesus humbled himself and And he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And because of this, Father God, you highly exalted Jesus, and you gave him a name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things beneath the earth. And so we thank you, Lord, that any name, any medical name that science or doctors can come up with, whether it's cancer or arthritis or tumor or blindness or whatever it might be, deafness, dumbness, whatever, we thank you, Lord, that the name of Jesus is above that name. It's above the name heart disease. It's above the name colitis. It's above the name swelling and infirmity. It's above every name, the name of Jesus. So we receive that body in the name of Jesus. We receive our healing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that that name is above every name. And every time sickness or disease tries to come against us, we'll remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. And we'll say in the name of Jesus, I have a healing covenant right, and Jesus is my healer. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now let's go ahead and take the juice, partake. And now, Lord, we're just glad to know that we serve a God in heaven who loves us and gives us the honor and the privilege of examining our own heart and judging our own heart so that we'll not have to be judged. And thank you, Lord, that as we've examined our heart before you, that, Father, we thank you that our sins are forgiven, they're covered. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as far as heaven is concerned, Father, that when you look down on us, you don't see any sin or guilt or condemnation or shame. You don't even see the past. You see us right now in the present, and you look off into the future. And your word says that you'll perfect that which concerns us. Your word says that you began a good work in us, and you'll perform it until the day of Christ. So thank you, Lord, that it's you working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And that when you look on us, just like when Jesus was raised up when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, that the Holy Spirit descended on him and a voice from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Thank you, Lord, that when you look upon each one that's here, you say, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." And that'll always be the same because you're a great God, a loving God. And we're so thankful, we're so grateful that we're alive, that we're saved, we're forgiven, we're healed, we're blessed because of Jesus. Lord, we've received these communion elements in remembrance of you, and we'll always, always be thankful, Lord. From this time on, we'll never look at the communion table the same because we will not take for granted what Jesus gave us. And so we thank you for it. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We'll stand up.